Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
It's that time.
Time.
Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Everyone knows we don't want officers beating a man to death in Memphis. And we start with the premise that we don't want a raid on a home by SWAT where you get the wrong home. That could be you or me. But let's talk about how we get to this point. We start with the premise, by the way, this almost always happens in inner city higher crime areas. Policing in areas like this is very different. It's much more aggressive. It's much more combative. It's much more dangerous. Because left out of all of this conversation is the reason we have demand. They're very publicly popular. Scorpion units and Viper units and these sorts of things. We start with the idea that between the cartels and the gangs, we've got some really, really sophisticated, mean, vicious, cruel, bad guys on our streets. Take the cops out of this conversation. One of these bad guys steals your car at gunpoint, breaks into your home and steals your stuff, rapes someone in your family, on and on and on. The immediate reaction is anger and retribution. We've got to stop this. We can't live like this. Fear in this manner is debilitating. So we say, react. We've got to have more firepower, and we've got to have more resources than they do. Get these guys off the streets. Now, the problem with crime is much worse in this country than it's been because the Democrats' idea was, well, the George Floyd type mentality is bad guys are good guys. Let's not hold them. The minute we catch them being bad guys, let's make them good guys again and put them right back out on the streets because that'll solve all the problems. But we know it hasn't. It's made it much worse. So we say, these police departments who look at this crime day in and day out say, we're not going to solve this problem with just your average cop on patrol, one man pulling up on a scene and stopping it. We're going to have to bring some pipe swingers in here. We're going to have to do something big here. So in Memphis, they started what they call this Scorpion Unit, which stands for something. It doesn't matter. But what you're trying to instill here is a mentality that you guys are the tough guys. When there's a bad guy, you guys are going to be the ones that go in and do it. And officers will tell you one of the most dangerous things you can do is gang task force and warrants. And there's a lot of overlap. If you're serving a warrant on a bad guy, it's going to be at his home, where he very likely has cameras, depending on how sophisticated the bad guy is. He's got cameras, he's well armed, the whole deal. So now you're going in to kick in his door and try to get to him before he has an opportunity to start firing on you. And how many times have we seen just here in Houston where he kills or wounds officers before they get to him? He ain't going to be taken alive. Does not want to go back. So the Scorpion Unit is five black officers. So who are these guys? So we did a little search. for Memphis changes qualifications to become police officer. And we added a date filter. So you wouldn't see the recent Tyree Nichols, he's the victim, event. And here is the script of the story. In an effort to recruit new officers, the Memphis Police Department is offering signing bonuses and changing some of the requirements to become an officer. Quote, the physical ability test, instead of it being a timed test, it will not be timed. It will not be pass or fail. It will just be an assessment, end quote. She says Memphis Police Department is also cutting the minimum number of college credit hours to 24, down from 54, saying, I don't think it's lowering standards. It's just making adjustments to accommodate the current generation. But the most controversial change may be in the way Memphis Police Department is looking at candidates' police record. Yes, a criminal record. Fox 13 has learned this could open the doors to people who have had a brush on the wrong side of the law. So, what is your mindset when you say, you know, we got standards for who can become a Memphis Police Department officer? These are the standards. You've got to be able to run at this level because these guys are going to run from you. You've got to be able to defend yourself physically because these guys are going to fight you. You've got to have X number of college credit hours. For whatever reason, that was the rule, 54 of them. And then you go, well, we don't have enough blacks and women. What are we going to do? Well, it turns out the blacks and women, let's say the women, can't pass the physical test. Okay, well, we'll just say that cop doesn't have to pass it. If you can be a cop without passing the test that was required to be a cop, why was that part of the test? Did you just come up with things? Was that just brought up out of nowhere? Or was the test designed so that you would weed out people who have no business wearing the badge and doing the job? But if you say it's no longer important that you have the skills we said yesterday you needed to have to be a cop because we don't have enough blacks and women, now what are you doing? You're saying more important than what we consider important skills to be cops are that you're black, brown, female. And this will continue to transgender, by the way. This thing continues on its way out. We haven't seen the tail of this. Because it's so important that we have people who satisfy a political constituency that we're going to say that the things that yesterday we believe made it important that you be an officer. So does it really matter who's an officer? Can we honestly just pick anyone from the general public? Does it matter if they can run? Does it matter if they've had any college courses? Because you said it did before. Does it matter that they have a physical ability? Apparently not. Well, what about the fact that they have a criminal record? You can't be a cop if you're a criminal. But if we're not getting enough blacks, browns, and women, and the reason is they have criminal records, then we're going to set that aside and say, Memphis is saying this, not me. We're going to set that aside because it's so important that we have black, brown, and female. Well, why was it in there in the first place? Why did you say we're not going to have criminals in the department? Was there some reason for that, or were you bored? And if you did away with that ruling, what might be the consequences?
Michael Berry, known as the Czar, also known as El Tocino.
Up from San Antonio, Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston.
So often we discuss things affecting our society in light of an individual news story. So if the cop's a bad guy in the news story, then we determine that cops are bad guys and we should do away with policing. And the results are, post George Floyd, atrocious. These sorts of things cannot be explained in the context of an individual case, because then the roles become caricatures and the caricatures become too important and you make bad decisions. I don't know why those officers really pulled over Tyre Nichols. I've heard rumors. Some of you may have as well. They're floating out there. Sometimes rumors turn out to be true. Sometimes rumors are started by some guy who's bored. Sometimes rumors are rooted in a little bit of truth but turn out to have been an exaggeration from an internet sleuth. But in my experience, for five officers to roll up on a guy who it's clear to me they have no belief he's armed. If you watch this video closely, you'll see that when they pull up on him, guns are drawn and they're getting him out of the car. There is no reference to a weapon. I've watched it a few times. I've never heard a reference to a weapon. They don't ask him if he has a weapon. They don't tell him to drop a weapon. They don't say, where is the weapon? They don't believe he has a weapon. They want him out, and they want him flat, and they want him cuffed. Fast. Faster than is typical, in my experience, in watching a lot of these things. Why is that? So he's incapacitated. All five of them have a heated passion in this case and a willingness to engage in a level of violence. If that's typical, I think we'd have seen it before, and that's not been the allegation. Crime scene investigators will tell you that when someone is beaten beyond what it takes, if there's a home invasion and someone is beaten to the point that they've been bludgeoned to death, they've been tortured, there's been cruelty visited upon them, in those cases, it's usually the case also that nothing is stolen from the house. So it's pretty easy to tell this wasn't a robbery. This wasn't a burglary. It wasn't even a robbery. They didn't want anything he had, which makes this unlike most home invasions. It's a hit. There are rumors that these officers have a problem with this individual unrelated to the supposed reckless driving that now the police department is saying they don't even believe he was engaged in reckless driving. It's not in any way a typical traffic stop. This Scorpion unit is a unit that was created to deal with the most violent crime in the area. Did they believe this guy was engaged in violent crime? It's been out there long enough that no one has suggested that this individual is in any way a criminal. If you see his behavior, and if you read the background, and granted, they can make George Floyd look like a nice guy. I suspect that these officers arrived on this vehicle knowing who this individual was. I'll start there. Knowing who he was and knowing that he posed no threat to them. And they have an axe to grind with this individual. This was not intended to be stopping an individual who's creating crime. It's not a notch on your belt that a bad guy's been taken off the street. This appears to me to be guys that have badges that showed up with the intention of delivering a message to this guy. And that message went too far and they killed him. And I suspect that whatever the reason for the message, that we're going to find out that that's what happened. That's not to say that police interactions with bad guys don't go wrong, because they do. In the case of Rodney King, I don't think those officers started chasing Rodney King with the intention of beating him so badly as they would do later in the evening. I think that was a stop that was being made, and he fled. And in fleeing, he endangered a lot of people's lives. And he was hyped up on PCP. He wouldn't respond. He wouldn't comply. And they had every reason to believe this is a really bad guy. They had to get him cuffed and figure out what they were dealing with and stop the immediate threat. That's a call that went wrong. This does not appear to me to be a call that went wrong. This appears to me to be a call, or to be a stop that had a designed consequence where they got carried away in administering a whipping. And my expectation is we're going to find out that there was a whipping planned for him by at least one of those officers. And that they did, in fact, deliver the whipping, but they went so far, they beat him to death. When you see where he's cuffed, and one is holding him, and another one rears back and hits him and spins him, and they get him back up to hit him some more, most people would be physically nauseous to experience a person who is that helpless.
I am an addictive personality, and so I fear things to which I could become addicted, like gambling or prescription drugs. But I want to sleep better, and I want to ache less. Try, as I do, thetrustedlab.com, delivered to your home. Texas-based, completely legal CBD that has given me great results. TheTrustedLab.com. I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called The Pipe Yard Inc., INC.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE.
That out of breath, that much of a noodle, he's got nothing left to even stand up. And to continue to pummel him, when all you have to do is lay him down, he's done, tells you there's an anger toward this individual that, in my opinion, is not related to the call and anything he did at that point. So if, in fact, that turns out to be the case, and this is pure speculation, if, in fact, that turns out to be the case, what are we to take from this? Some people shouldn't be police officers. Instead of criticizing the police for being the police, and most people criticizing the police for being the police are people who end up on the wrong side of the law constantly. Why don't we instead seek out better police officers? And it's clear in this case, these weren't the best of the best. Why don't we understand the difficult job they have? And why don't we find the best we have for the job? You think that's what we're doing?
The Michael Berry Show.
Boys and girls, take warning. If you go near the lake, keep your eyes wide open and look for a sneaky snake. Now maybe you won't see him, maybe you won't hear, but he'll sneak up behind you and drink all of your root beer. And then a sneaky snake goes dancing, wiggling and a hissing. Sneaky snake goes dancing, giggling and a kissing. I don't like old sneaky snake. He laughs too much, you see. When he goes wiggling through the grass, it tickles his underneath. Well, sneaky snake drinks root beer, and he just makes me sick. When he is not dancing, he looks just like a snake. Now he doesn't have any arms or legs. You cannot see his ears. And while we are not looking, he's stealing all of our beer. And then sneaky snake goes dancing, wiggling and a hissing. Sneaky snake goes dancing, a giggling and a kissing.
Let's open the phone line, shall we? 713-999-1000. 713-999-1000. During the break, I was reading your submissions by email. The concept of providing public safety in the inner cities of Houston today is probably better viewed, follow me here, it is probably better viewed in a wartime situation. Think about this for a moment. For those, and there are many in our audience who served in Iraq, Afghanistan, or even Vietnam, the police, our military, our service members, took on the role of being a policing force. They were often called occupiers. Their presence was resented by many, particularly the warlords and the bad guys and the insurgents, similar to the inner city of America. There were those who appreciated them because they kept some semblance of structure and law and order and rule of law and safety and security. And they kept the bad guys from absolutely dominating the weaker women and children and law-abiding in the community. But it's also the case that those service members were exposed on a daily basis. They were expected to act like a cop, but they were, in fact, in a war zone in a war. And so at any given time, somebody who's well-trained, well-armed, with a death wish might pop out from behind a corner, might pop out from behind a child who called in distress and upon arrival. We see this happening in this country more and more, where officers will be called to a scene and it's actually a setup and the officers are fired upon when they go in. They arrive thinking they're arriving to help someone in distress, but there's actually someone lying in wait to fire on them. They're doing it to firefighters as well who aren't armed. When you understand that many of our officers in places like Memphis are in a wartime situation day in and day out, now it's going to be very important that you not just hire someone and give them a badge and a gun. It's going to be important that they not just be black, which is what appears to have been the case here, for at least two of these officers. Why did you relax the rules for these two officers? because you wanted these officers on the force, because you bought into the lie that white officers are racist. You got to have black officers. Well, if you apply the standards you've used before, 54 hours of school, no brushes with the law, and a fitness test, you weren't getting the officers that you wanted. Why did you want these officers? Why was it so important that that your process, it isn't that they didn't have Memphis officers. It isn't that they weren't able to hire Memphis officers. They weren't able to hire the type of Memphis officer they wanted. Was that an officer with extensive training in urban warfare? Was that officers with extensive knowledge of the sociological difficulties of being raised a young black man in a gang-infested town? Nope. He had to be black. Well, then why have any standards at all? Why not just do what Joe Biden said? I'm going to have a black woman as vice president. Line up the black women and I'll pick from among them. That's what you've done. When you do that, you are necessarily saying this officer won't have the qualifications that we believed were important for a police officer. Were those qualifications that would make you less likely to engage in violence? Are they qualifications that they assume would give you greater discernment? Are they qualifications, if you haven't had run-ins with the law, that would suggest you are a person of a higher moral fortitude? Is this the consequence of saying we're just going to grab people and put them on the force and see what happens? Well, now you've seen. So what do you do now? What do you do about the fact that these aren't the only two officers who were hired under that system? Do you train officers more? Is that the answer? Do you punish officers more? Do you give your IAD more authority? Because I will tell you, I've seen IAD waste a lot of time. And for those of you who go, yes, you need your internal affairs department. Your internal affairs department becomes like the U.S. FBI with Facebook censoring you. You end up censoring a guy for making a post on Facebook about, you know, whether the FBI is doing a good job when officers that are running a criminal enterprise don't get investigated.
The Michael Berry Show.
Phone lines, we go 713-999-1000. Bill, you're up. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I think you show way too much love for law enforcement. And I think if you were to like run a survey of your listeners and ask them about their encounters with law enforcement, I'd say they're almost always bad. I think of my own. Every time I've had something stolen, car broken into, anything like that, it's very much like, because I'm a faithful listener, the bar owner in Midtown who can't get the police to do their job. And I'm not talking about, as you said, living in a war zone in Harris County. I'm talking about on the outskirts of the town of Montgomery. The problem is everything is just deteriorated so much, and there's a lot more bad in there, and that's why you see so many things like what happened in Galveston, what happened in Memphis, the Harding Street raid, all these other things. I don't know what the answer is, but there's a lot more bad in law enforcement than the mainstream people are willing to admit to. And until we're willing to say that, I don't think it's going to change.
Let's talk about your personal experiences.
Sure.
Take me through one of those and how that worked.
Okay. I had my vehicle broken into in my driveway there in Montgomery and called Montgomery County Sheriff because I'm right outside of the city limits. They came out within an hour or so. It was an emergency. No problem there. And I say, hey, you know, I've got cameras. Let's rewind the tape and let's look and see. And the guy's like, oh, God, I'm going to be here for another half hour. When he goes, look, you just hang on to this. Let me give you a case number, and I can go on about my business. City of Houston, multiple break-ins at vehicles and businesses. And to get somebody coming to come out and try to do something about it, never happened, not once.
Okay, what is your experience with the break-ins of the bars in Houston?
Oh, I've got no experience there. I just heard the gentleman on your show talk about he was there in Midtown. They know, he says the cops know who the guy is, but to get him to do their job, he had to finally pressure him to go ahead and do that. So it's not just Democrat judges that are letting all these guys loose. We're not arresting them at the rate we should be because the cops aren't doing their jobs. And it's a combination of, yeah, there's guys that get out of control and physical abuse, and that's terrible. And there's also another of, I don't know what they do all day long if they're tied up with bureaucratic BS, but they're not arresting the guys like they should be.
Well, that's a very overarching.
It's complex, yes, sir.
No. I get the frustration. I'm not going to tell you that every experience I've ever had with a rank and file police officer was positive. Just as it hasn't been with TSA, school teachers, or any other sort of bureaucrat, government employee, or for that matter, private sector employee. I will tell you that, let's take the case of your situation. Did the guy look at the video?
No.
So you had video.
He said, hang on to it. Yeah.
Hang on
to it. And if we get some leads, I'll come back and get back with you.
Well, I will tell you, speaking to the HPD issue. So one of the complaints I get from listeners is that somebody bumped into me. This happens a lot on, let's say, 610 in front of the Galleria. Very busy area, stop and go. You've been humming along, and all of a sudden you're stopped, and people are all on their phone. So you got a lot of little bump in the back of people. And people my age and above still think, well, you stop the cars right there, so there's evidence. Get out, shut down all the traffic, get out, and we're going to wait right here till the cops can come. So when you call that in, first of all, it's going to be a while before you get to dispatch because they're running so many calls. The second thing is once you get them on there, they're going to say, just call your insurance or we'll give you a case number. We don't send officers to that anymore. That's not the officer's decision. That's the department's decision.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's the way it should be. I would think.
Well, but that guy hates cops now because he got run into by an illegal alien, and the cops are in on this. The cops are in on illegal aliens overrunning this country because they wouldn't help me do it, so now he hates the cops as a result of it. Hello?
Yeah, I mean, I can get that. I can tell you my last encounter with HPD was I was stopped for speeding on I-45 North, doing 70 in a 65.
Bill, I'm losing.
So they were
okay. Good. And so what happened?
Yeah, they were free enough to do that. They're free enough to stop people for speeding on I-45.
Sure, it's a revenue generator.
If it's a revenue generator. But if your catalytic converter is stolen or your car is broken into, you never get it back. Never get it back. They never catch the guy.
Right, but would you put that on the officer?
Yes.
The patrol officer who's coming out has 7 calls behind you. Hello?
Well, I'll say this. Every time I call them about a vehicle being broken into, they go, yeah, they're hitting the neighborhood. They got like 10 other vehicles, or they got two stores down the road, or whatever. So, yeah, they might have seven calls, but five of them might be related.
I could see that. Listen, I can see the frustration. My argument would be that if we have a full understanding of how bad crime is, then we demand the best of the best in the business. We give them the tools necessary. We boot out the judges that when they do arrest folks, they're actually kept for a while. We give them the tools to do their job. That's not happening. I will. I'm not going to tell you that every police officer is going to be pleasant in their interaction with you, in just the same way that every interaction with me wouldn't be pleasant. But I can tell you that that would be too over. We'll continue this conversation.
We're all looking for a way to ache less, sleep better, feel better. TheTrustedLab.com has helped me and a lot of our listeners. TheTrustedLab.com. Completely legal, lab tested, based in Texas. They'll deliver to you wherever you are. TheTrustedLab.com. Legal in all 50 states. TheTrustedLab.com. TheTrustedLab.com.